SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scrape a run across the plate in the bottom of the eighth and just get something going. Now you got this bullpen. You realize that their bullpen, Cleveland, so far has not allowed a single run far in these games. I know there's only been two games, but they've been near perfect, the bullpen, and they are just striking out Yankees left and right. Torres just went down swinging on high chi, so they can't even get a hit, let alone get on base. The only thing, Kiner Falefa is the last guy that got a hit, and then everything else has been a walk or garbage. They just aren't getting on. You can't win a game if you can't get a hit.
Their bullpen was excellent against Tampa, too, last weekend. The 15-inning games, no runs allowed. The bullpen did all of that work against the Rays. So these are good, real good pitchers.
Same thing.
In right now.
No runs, right? Yeah. They've allowed no runs in the postseason.
No runs. No, they have been out.
It's not just two games. It's the Yankees series with Tampa, too. Yeah. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. Certainly is. We'll see if the Yankees can crack the egg here, because they're starting to run out of their guys that they trust the most already. They've used Loaisica. They've used Trevino. They've used Peralta now, who just came in. You know, you're running out of the guys, and the circle of trust isn't that big to begin with the Yankee bullpen. But you're starting to run out of the guys who are really in it. Let's go to the Giants and the Ravens now, Scott.
That was why that live buck 68 or whatever was – that's a good bet.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that it was as well, because anything can happen. It just takes one big fly at this point. Giants and the Ravens Sunday at MetLife. Giants are 4-1, Scotty, but a lot of people, the talking heads, have been running around saying, they're not very good. Who cares that they're 4-1? Brian Daboll doesn't really care what those people think. Here he is.
You know, I've heard a bunch today. You heard it yesterday after the game, and you know, you're like you're the worst 4-1 team. What do you think when you even hear that?
Yeah, I don't focus on any of that stuff. Whether, again, like I said earlier, Chris's question, our job is to go out there and take a look and correct the things we need to correct each week. Focus on, you know, our improvement, some of the things we can do better, build off some of the things we have done okay, and get ready to play our next opponent. That's all we can control.
How much though do you maybe at least chuckle at that, saying, "Hey, you know, we're winning games in the NFL. That's all we care about here."
Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, Jordan, my focus is on trying to do what we need to do each week and be as consistent as we can all, you know, whether we're 4-1, 1-4, whatever our record is, that's what our record is. It's always about improvement and trying to do the best job you can each week to play your best and coach your best.
Here's another guy trying to sell us that he has no idea what anyone's talking about. And you
doesn't
do not live in New York City
doesn't
like
listen.
I do and avoid anything. You cannot walk down the street without hearing about the Giants or the Yankees and the Jets and whatever else, the Knicks, the Nets. You cannot live in this town and avoid it. You cannot ignore it. You cannot say that you don't watch it. That's a lie, too. That you don't listen to it. That's a lie, too. The social media, that's a lie, too. But I know this, is that everybody's a genius. I'm an idiot, but everybody's a genius. Like all these guys doing talk shows and arguing shows and debate shows and podcasts and everything else. Everybody's a genius. Here's what I know. They are 4-1 and they continue to win and they beat the Packers in London and they beat their ass. That second half was total world domination, people's elbow. That's what that was. So anyone that watched that half and what they did to the Packers and did to Aaron Rodgers, and you want to sit there on your high pedestal and say they suck, they're the worst 4-1 team ever, then you're a moron. All they do is just keep winning and playing good football. They're a good football team. That's just all there is to it. So I'm an idiot, but I know a good football team when I see one. So everyone that thinks they suck, no, it's actually you suck.
They are 6-point dogs at home against the Ravens on Sunday.
Please, against that team that can't hold a lead.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast. On a Friday, Sirius XM 159, Sports Map, Sports Byline. Good to have everybody with us. So Stanton walked, Scotty, and I was just going to say to you, Stanton walked, and they put LeCastro in there to run for him, which means if you don't score here, you're going to lose Stanton's bat if you go to extra innings. That's why you needed to be aggressive if you are going to pinch run for him, which they just did. They have got to get this run across any way possible to make this move stick. And he is in there safe. So Donaldson has to – you're going to get a couple cracks to get this run around and home for the Yanks in the bottom of the eighth.
And Donaldson has hit the ball hard today.
He has.
Now it's 3-1 to Donaldson. I can't even do the show anymore. Let's just watch the game.
Let's just see what happens. That's we're just gonna continue to follow along with the Yankees. We will come back after the break. We have to get through the rest of the Sunday slate. We will hear from Josh Allen, the rematch at Arrowhead, Bills and the Chiefs, Cowboys and the Eagles on Sunday night in Philadelphia. And we've got other games we have to look at too before we get to the lion's share and give you the props for this week. So more to do on Coast.
Cabrera's up, runners in first and second, one out. The game's on the line right here, baby.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, it really is unbelievable, the stress, Carver High. Cabrera is 2-2, and he can't catch up to that fastball. It's 3-2 now, full, with Karinchak just throwing 100-mile-an-hour blazers at Cabrera. He fouled off a couple pitches to stay alive, and now it's a full count. Kiner Falefa, IKF, in the on-deck circle. There's no way he can catch that fastball, that little dude. But he did have the last hit, the flare to right field. I am absolutely losing weight. He struck out on the high cheese. He couldn't catch up to that fastball to save his ass because he's throwing 100-mile-an-hour gas. And Cabrera, every time he swung right through it, he had no chance to hit it.
Damn. It like it was ball four, too. Just
it was ball four.
That was probably ball four, way high there. So it's up to your boy, IKF, who has been much maligned throughout the season. Let's see if he can give everybody a nice moment here. Maybe get
he
that.
He can't catch up to it either. He's too little.
We will see. We'll see. He's coming up to plate now. The big matchup, the marquee game on Sunday, 4:25 p.m. Eastern kickoff at Arrowhead. The rematch, Bills and the Chiefs played probably the most exciting game of last season, the divisional playoff overtime game where Mahomes got the ball last and won it. Let's hear from Josh Allen, Scotty. Looking forward to facing Mahomes again. Always loves playing against him.
As a football fan myself, you know, when I'm watching games, you know, I love watching him play. You know, he's a fantastic player. He can do everything you want. His teammates love him, and I know he's got a good grasp on the locker room over there and how he carries himself, the things that he does off the field for his charity. He's a special football player and a special guy. And
great guy. He's a humanitarian.
Yeah, anytime he's playing, I think people are watching. So, you know, us being able to go over there and play them and all that aside, you know, we're just trying to go execute a game plan.
Yeah, I don't know what any of that means. He's such a loving person. I don't care what you think of Patrick Mahomes or anybody else.
Well,
go
there and
win
rip his heart
the
out.
Game. You know, go win the game. You did it last year in the regular season. Go do it again.
Here is the situation, Scotty. The Bills injury report, a little bit better than it's been the last few weeks. They are going to get Jordan Poyer back for this game. They're going to possibly get Dawson Knox back for this game. The Chiefs are now the team really banged up in the secondary. They are going to start two rookies at corner against Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis and the company. You remember Gabe Davis had the four touchdowns at Arrowhead in the playoff game. We will hear from him in the lion's share next segment, that's for sure. And plenty of the Buffalo Bills. It's -2.5. Bills the road favorite. We've heard it all week. First time ever Mahomes has been an underdog at home. I'm on the Bills, Scotty. Let's go. I'm rolling with it. Let's do it, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, it's still a game time decision for me. I think, you know, certainly right. I think the secondary of the Chiefs with the rookies is terrible. You saw what Adams did to him. What do you think these guys are going to do to him? The same thing, only more of it. They got two guys that can do it to him, even three with McKenzie. They have so many weapons that can light up those rookies. I do not think the Chiefs corners are good at all, at all. They had to pass interference calls just to survive Adams. And when they didn't attack him and tackle him and hold him, he was catching touchdown bombs. So you can do whatever you want to that secondary, and I think Allen will. I'm leaning Bills.
The night game is pretty good also. You'll roll that Bill-Chief game right into Sunday Night Football, where the Cowboys will head to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. 5-0 Eagles, 4-1 Cowboys. Mike McCarthy, Scotty, always loves Cowboy-Eagle rivalry.
I mean, this is a great game to compete in. I think anytime you have division games and rivalry games and, you know, the history and, you know, and we'll definitely educate our younger players on, you know, with their, you know, get, you know, the arena that they're getting ready to compete in, you know, pulling into, you know, pulling into Philadelphia at the stadium is a unique experience. So, I mean, just, it's all part of it. It's all, and it's, yeah, I've always enjoyed it. So, but this, you know, this is a game obviously means a lot. Both teams are, you know, they're undefeated. We're 4-1. So, I mean, all that plays into it. But, you know, the division games to me are always the most fun, most competitive. So that's what we're preparing for.
Not to distract you again, but Karen Shack walked IKF and the bases are loaded with two outs. And they're going to go to, I believe, Class A, probably the best closer in baseball. Class A is coming into the game, so good luck. This guy is just absolutely filthy. I think the Cowboys are going to give the Eagles all they can handle, and the reason I believe that is because of their pass rush. I think Hurts is going to be running for his life. Now, I know how good the Eagles have looked. Frankly, I think they've looked good in the first half of games, and in the second half of games, they look like an entirely different team. And the Cowboys play good from start to finish defensively. I think their pass rush and their secondary is phenomenal. I don't think they stopped the run, but that's where Philadelphia can beat them. I think with Sanders, Gainwell, they have been running all over people and play action with Hurts. And when Hurts takes off running, they seem to do whatever they want and they're able to get big leads and then they milk it in the second half. I think Dallas will be in the football game though. I think the number's too big.
Yeah, 6.5 right now as we sit on Friday. I'll take those points. Every Cowboy game has been very close. They've been winning them. They might lose this one, but I think it'll be close. And I'm not the biggest. I know the Eagles are 5-0. They've played great. But I'm not a completely bought-in believer on the Eagles as being the best team, one of the two or three best teams in football this year. So I think they're going to get a test from that defense Sunday night. All right, let's rip through a couple of these other games we haven't touched on yet today, Scotty. Joe Burrow returning to where he won his college national championship, the Dome down in New Orleans, to take on the Saints. Him and Chase need to get something going. They're 3-point road favorites against the Saints on Sunday, Scotty. What do you like?
I think they're better than the Saints, although, you know, the Saints have been in drag-out games. The game with Minnesota came down to the wire, so I'm not going to be surprised at all if this game comes down to the last minute.
I would not be surprised at all either. The Niners stayed out east after pounding the Panthers last week in Carolina. They got to stay at the beautiful Greenbrier in West Virginia, where now they'll take on the Falcons on Sunday. -5.5 for the 49ers. The Falcons, as we know, they don't win games, Scotty, But they're 5-0 against the spread so far this year. Do they cover again against the Niners?
You know, they could have gone to the West Virginia game last night, being so close to Morgantown at the Greenbrier. Very posh, yes. Five-star. But to go watch West Virginia, no one wanted to go to the game that played on the 49ers because they stink so bad. So they stayed in the spa at the Greenbrier. Some of them were out on the putting green. Some of them out on the range. Some of them out on the course till sunset.
Yep.
The Niners are flat out better than the Falcons.
Yes.
Here we go again. A big number. The concern I have is Atlanta covers every single game that they play. I don't think they have the same fortunes against the 49ers.
The Panthers are getting 10 in Los Angeles against the Rams off of firing Matt Rhule. The Rams have lost a couple games in a row. Seems like a good spot for L.A.
Yeah, because they've looked so awful, and then they've had 10 days off, whatever it is. What was that? When they lost to the Niners, right? So I actually think that they're going to take it out on the Panthers. The same kind of thing, the 37-15 job the Niners did to them, I'm looking at the same type of game, you know, 30-14, 30-10. I think the Panthers are awful, and I think the Rams have yet to play a good game, and they're going to show it right here finally.
I've got one more game for you. We'll cover that at the start of the Lion Share. Then we'll get into all of our props. Lion Share for this weekend, passing, rushing, receiving, anytime tutties. Right now, Klasse is in.
To third.
Okay. All right, so you're going to go to – that's tough. They needed to get something there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
Carver, hi. Minka Fitzpatrick, Cam Sutton, Witherspoon, and Levi Wallace all out against Tampa Bay on Sunday. So how do you like that spread now? I mean, their entire team's out. Entire secondary's out.
That is a tough scene for them, and that's why you'll see in our first Lion Share pick. I like it even better now. But first, before I get there, really quickly, Arizona and Seattle, the only game we did not get to on Sunday. Cardinals -2.5 road favorites. Remember, that kickoff might move back an hour if there's a Mariner game on Sunday afternoon. They'll play at 5:30 East instead of 4:30. I like Seattle. Geno's played well. You giving me some points at home with them? Why not?
I think they'll definitely be in that football game. I won't be surprised at all if they get a lead in that football game. Arizona's been playing from behind every week. They've had all kinds of problems, and Seattle hasn't really had any. They've been tough every single week. Geno's been great. I'm with you there.
So let's start the Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM, our player props for Sunday pain day in the NFL. It's funny you bring up all the injuries for the Steelers secondary. Our first passing number for this week, well, it's Tom Brady and the Bucs going into the place the Steelers play. Now, this was 274 early this morning, went to 278, and now, after all that news that you just talked about, 287.5 for Brady. I think we got to take the over with all those Steeler injuries, Scotty.
I mean, without a doubt, I mean, their entire team is out of the game with injuries, and they're their, like, best players. I mean, Minka, Sutton, Witherspoon have all been very solid for them. Wallace, those are the only guys that make plays at all on this football team. Ever since T.J. Watt went down, they have nothing, and that's just all there is to it. I guess Highsmith has been okay for Watt, but nothing to write home about. Tom Brady is going to carve them up for 3.25, 350.
We mentioned before that Joe Burrow is returning to Nolens for the first time since winning that national title. Well, how about, and the Saint pass defense has not been very good. 251.5 for Burrow to go over. Maybe him and Chase and Higgins start to make things happen, and I'm going over 251.5.
Yeah, I think he'll struggle there with all the, you know, going home, all the fandom there. It's not his home, but it was in college. And he's thought so highly and regarded so highly there by everybody. It's going to be sold out, loud, crazy, like always at the Dome. It's just a tough place to play and perform at a high level. They're always in the games, the Saints, when they're playing on Bourbon Street. Believe me, you. So I'm going to say under.
Our next two for passing, we're going to go to the big game at Arrowhead. We will start with Josh Allen. This was 293.5 this morning, 297, now 298.5. And I do not care, Scotty. I'm going with the same logic you had last week. He's going to go well over 300 yards in this game against the Chiefs. Over.
Yeah, I'll go with you over the rainbow because the Chiefs secondary is hairdryer city. They're awful. I mean, Adams, if they would have played for another 15 minutes, he would have had 3-4 touchdowns.
And we'll go the other side, too, because like all the games we've seen between these two, it usually goes back and forth up and down the field. Mahomes was 298.5. It's actually dipped down 2 yards, Scotty, 296.5 for Patrick Mahomes now. I'm confident that he can get to 300 also.
I'm going to stay under. I'm going to say the Bills' defense gives him problems all day long, like usual. And I know he's had huge games against them. And, you know, in the regular season last year against the Bills, he didn't do anything.
He struggled.
So here we go again in a game that is not a playoff game. And I know that every week everyone gifts this guy overs and automatic touchdowns and automatic 400-yard days and automatic wins. I mean, they had no business winning that game against the Raiders, and they did. I won't deny that he did well, but Kelce did better, 4 touchdowns. He made the big plays. When he caught the one and ran across the grain and across his body the other way and got in the end zone, that blew my mind. It was more Kelce to me than Mahomes. I didn't think he did anything spectacular in that game whatsoever, and I think the Raiders blew it.
These are the games that the Bills gave all that money to Von Miller for. Go out and hammer Patrick Mahomes on Sunday. That's
yes.
What they paid him all that big coin for. Rushing, Saquon Barkley, Scotty, did you know, leads the NFL in yards from scrimmage. He has been excellent through the first 5 games for the G-Men, Big Blue. 73.5 now, up a yard for Barkley against the Ravens at home on Sunday.
I mean, I am just not impressed with the Baltimore Ravens at all, and I think Barkley's going to have a big game. I'm going to say over.
I'm with you. I'm on the over as well. Next, Skylar Thompson is going to start for the Miami Dolphins against the Vikings on Sunday. What does that mean, Scotty? Like last week when he came into the game, they're going to lean on the run game. Raheem Mostert will get the most looks, 61.5. I think this is a ground-and-pound type of game if Thompson's going to be the quarterback. Give me the over.
Well, they have to. You're right. They have to run the ball. Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, this game is going to be about defense and the under because the Dolphins are going to have to win this game on the defensive side of the ball. I don't believe they can do anything spectacular with Thompson at quarterback. I'd be, you know, frankly, leery that he can do it. But I'll go with you on the over. I'll go with you. It's going to be close. I don't think they're going to have much success offensively in this game. I'd buy into a defensive touchdown, though. Scoop and score a pick six Izzy.
Now, this next guy, we have hit him a couple times already this year with his number in the low 30s. You're giving me Debo this week in Atlanta at now 16.5, Scotty, for rushing yards. 16.5 for Debo. As we like to say when he's in the 30s, he can get down on one carry, and he can get over 15 or 16.5 on one carry. Over for Debo again.
Yeah, I just think that just absolutely is too easy. The Falcons, you know, they can't stop a nosebleed. So I'm going to go, like, everyone has had big leads on the Falcons, and then they somehow backdoor cover.
Yeah.
They're going to have a problem with this team. This is a team that can do a number of things. And one of them is let this guy, Samuel, run the ball. And if he runs it once, he's going to run it 20 yards. He's so fast and incredible, and he breaks ankles. I think they're too much offensively for the Falcons, like they were the Panthers. I still feel like it's, you know, Philly, San Francisco, and Dallas for me are the three teams that could end up, you know, in that, you know, NFC championship game. One of the two. Sunday night bit could be a preview of the title game. If not, I think it's Eagles, Niners.
Let's go there for our final rushing one. Jalen Hurts consistently 50 yards rushing pretty much every week, Scotty. And I think even more so this week with the scrambling essence of it, because that Dallas pass rush and Parsons are going to be running after him, and he's going to start running over 48.5 for Hurts Sunday night.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Dallas has a great shot in this game, and it's because of their defense. And I don't think they're going to allow Hurts to do anything all night. I'm going to say no.
All right, we'll rip through the rest of these. We got 3 minutes here. Ja'Marr Chase, I was kind of comboing it with him and Burrow. You like the under on Burrow, so I'm assuming you're going to like the under on Chase, which has now gone up to 79.5.
Yeah, I'll go under.
Justin Jefferson, it's a weekly play, Scotty. I'm sorry. The guy has 100 yards every single week. It's 86.5. I don't care where they're playing the game. This guy gets his yards every week, over 86.5.
Well, I think with Howard's injury, it's a problem for the Dolphins. So I think he will go over.
And another guy who we hit every single week is Stephon Diggs. It's 87.5 now. We've talked ad nauseum about the Chiefs' corners. Easy over.
Yeah, easy. Easy street. I mean, this guy is an absolute freak. I mean, at one point, he was my MVP.
Yeah, he's played outstanding. And finally, the Geno DK Metcalf combo against the Cardinals in Seattle on Sunday. 71.5 now, down a yard, 71.5 for Metcalf to go over against the Cardinals, whose pass defense sucks.
Yeah, I like him to go over. Every time I turn around, he's got the ball in his hands. Geno loves him. I think he'll have a big game. I think Arizona sucks.
And let's finally ring the bell with some anytime touchdowns on Sunday. Breece Hall's been finding the end zone every week, it seems like, Scotty. And I saw Barkley and the Giants move the ball pretty good against that Packer D. Let's get Hall in the end zone at plus 125.
Why not? The thing I want to see is the Packers bending over again. I would love to see them lose again. Give me anything. I don't care who scores. Give me Hall. Give me anybody. Wilson. Give me anybody. Wilson again, the receiver. I don't care. Hall, you name it.
The last time Gabe Davis was at Arrowhead, he had 4 touchdowns in a playoff game against the Chiefs. He had a boatload against the Steelers last week, too. Looked healthy. Plus $120 for Gabe Davis on Sunday.
I mean, easy. It's just too easy. The Chiefs have no one that can stop a fly in that secondary. They are god-awful. He's going to have 2.
Taysom Hill got very involved for the Saints last week. I think they keep him very involved against the Bengals. Plus 175 for him to get in the end zone.
This guy's such a pain in the ass. He's always in the end zone. You're probably right. I'll buy.
And finally, the big ball play of the week. Tony Pollard's the back now in Dallas, Scotty. He had a touchdown against the Rams last week. Plus 220 against the Eagles on Sunday night for Pollard to score.
Why not? I think he's great. I think he's obviously taking over that job. And if they get inside the 5, I like him going in.
The Lions.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back on Coast to Coast. Holmes got out of a jam, 1st and 3rd, 2 outs, got a ground ball out, bottom 9 now in the boogie down Bronx. And I got to tell you, it was Stanton out of that lineup. They're booing Judge because he struck out 4 times. They went from 62 home runs and nobbing him to now they boo him in the Bronx. What have you done for me lately, baby? But it's time for Go for Gin. Our boy Joe Lisi from Carver and Lisi. You see him on Sports Grid. You see him everywhere across the board all week long. We always love having Joe on the show. You can catch him on College Football Today as well. And I got to tell you, Joe, it all starts and ends for me in Neyland Stadium in Knoxville tomorrow. It is as good as it gets. Tennessee, it went from 8-7, and Hayden Hooker and company in front of 100,000 plus in Orange, hammered drunk, taking on a Bama team that has struggled in Austin, struggled in Tuscaloosa against A&M. What do you think Saban does tomorrow against Heupel and the Vols down in Knoxville?
I think they beat them down. They've won 15 straight, the last three, Scotty, in the series by an average margin of victory of 27 points per game. Picked up this victory last year, 52-24, covered in the fourth quarter, pulled away. Whether Bryce Young plays or not, to me, it doesn't matter. Alabama's averaging 6.9 yards per carry. That is their highest total prior to 2009. Think about that. Nick Saban gets on campus 2008, 2009, they've had a higher yards per carry in terms of the running game. It's been dominant over the past 12 years. I think it continues. Not sold on the Tennessee defense. And keep in mind, Alabama's front seven playing lights out, holding opposing offenses to 2.3 yards per carry and number two in all of college football in terms of third down defense.
I mean, I got to tell you, you're not impressed with the Vols defense. You mean that defense that held LSU to 13 in Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge with a ranked team that beat up on Mississippi State in the Bayou, now suddenly they suck?
I didn't say they suck. I just don't think they're at the same level. They haven't faced an offensive line like Alabama. Tennessee, go back to the games over the last 3 or 4 years. Tennessee has not been able to go toe-to-toe, man-to-man in terms of the in the trenches, in the interior. They just are at a significant disadvantage. And that game last week with LSU, they jumped out early, right? Turnovers in terms of special teams, that basically took the LSU running game completely out of the mix in the first half, made them one-dimensional. I'm back in Alabama. I'll tell you this, whether Bryce Young plays or not, even if it's Milrow, I think they still run at will on the front seven of Tennessee. And I've been into Neyland Stadium. 1998, 22-7, they got the victory over South Carolina and Deuce Staley.
Listen, I just think it's going to be a better game than that. I just think it's going to be a great game. I think this Tennessee team is lit. I think they're good. I think Hooker's good. I think Heupel's done a great job. This is not the same Tennessee team at all that you're talking about being pushed around by Alabama the last few years. I won't deny they've been pushed around by Alabama, but who has Alabama pushed around this year? Utah State, Vanderbilt. They pushed around candy-ass teams. When they played average teams like Texas, they're average. They're not anything to write home about. They beat them by one. When they beat a team that they're going to chant fire Jimbo all day down in College Station, A&M had the ball at the 3-yard line, a chance to win the game in Tuscaloosa. What makes them so vaunted? They don't look good to me.
They're not playing as consistent as they were, let's say, a couple of years ago. Last year, keep in mind, they ran the table and they didn't cover a number of double-digit spreads. But when is the last time you get Alabama basically as a touchdown favorite? You have to go back to the national championship games against Clemson. They laid back-to-back 6.5-point spreads. And obviously, they laid a short number with Georgia over the last couple of years. Outside of that, they just typically lay double digits. I like Tennessee. I'm not denying that they're an 8 or 9-win football team, but expecting them to strike the upset this coming Saturday, unfortunately, I just don't think they're there yet. That's why they play the games, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think Alabama wins this ball game anywhere from 13 to 17 points.
So what's the plan for Penn State, Michigan in the Big House?
I'm taking the underdog. I think they're the better team. And now Michigan is 11-0 over the last year and a half straight up at home. They picked up this victory last year. They trailed 17-14. They actually won and covered 21-17 as a 3.5-point favorite. But I got to go to the rushing attack of Penn State right now. They're pounding the rock for $1.92. I like Sean Clifford on the road. He's the more experienced quarterback in this type of setting, in this type of situation. And let's not count out Penn State's defense. 79 rushing yards allowed, 29% third down defense. I think that carries well in a road environment. They forced J.J. McCarthy into mistakes. I'm calling for the upset. Penn State outright over Michigan.
I like it. And do you think that game will be better than the Tennessee-Alabama game?
I think it has a tendency to be. I think if Alabama starts fast, the problem that Tennessee faces is the mental aspect. When you haven't beaten a team in 15 straight years, that weighs on you, especially if you're playing from behind. So we'll see how that plays out. I know that Penn State won 2 years ago in terms of the COVID year. They were a 4.5-point dog, and let's not forget, won that ballgame 27-17 over Jim Harbaugh.
Auburn's at Ole Miss getting a 15 spot in Oxford, and Ole Miss has been turning it up on people. Is that too much wood, though, for this game?
No, I don't think so. I think the wheels have come off for Auburn. Granted, I think they stepped up a couple weeks ago and got the cover against LSU, but where they are right now after the beatdown to Georgia, I just think they go south the second half of the season. They have typically played very well against Ole Miss and have dominated the series for the most part. But the ability for Ole Miss to pound the rock on the front seven, I don't like Robbie Ashford in that type of situation. I think Lane Kiffin rolls in this ballgame. I think he kicks it up a notch as well. He looks to tack it on Brian Harsin in that type of setting. I think they cover fairly easy at home in Oxford.
Kansas going to Norman. I think the Sooner season is already over. They've looked so awful. Are you surprised they're 8.5-point favorites over a one-loss Jayhawk team?
No, they've won 17 straight over KU. Now, that KU did get the cover last year as a 32.5-point underdog. Remember, they had Caleb Williams and Kennedy Brooks on life support. The 4th-and-2, Caleb Williams gets the strip, and he gets the first down. That allowed Oklahoma to get the win. But the season's on the line for Brett Venables. You cannot lose to Kansas with a backup quarterback, no matter how well Lance Leipold and the crew are playing. The spread opened up at 7. It's up to 9. I'm not betting this game in any capacity, but if I had to, I would lay the lumber with Oklahoma in this type of setting at home.
Iowa State going to Austin, getting a 15.5 piece. Is that too much?
No, they've won 3 straight in the series by 9.3 points per game. Picked up this victory last year, 30-7. I love their defense, holding opposing offenses to 91 rushing yards per game, 29% on third down conversions. I think they strike the upset. I'll call for it right now, plus 530 on the money line. I think they're live against Texas. I'm not sold on this Texas team being elite. I like Matt Campbell as an underdog. I think he has a pretty good quarterback to challenge Texas over the top. And keep an eye out for Xavier Hutchinson, the wide receiver for Iowa State, back-to-back 100-yard games.
Minnesota's in Champaign. Bielma's done a great job with the Illini. First time they've been ranked in Foreverville. And the Gophers are laying 6.5 on the road.
Yeah, I'm going to lay it. They're 13-4 straight up on the road or on a neutral field site since 2019. I think they can run the football. I like Tanner Morgan in this spot, but their defense right now is playing lights out. Number one third down defense in all of college football. They have the number one ranked statistical third down offense and defense in all of FBS. Their ability to run the football, I think, carries well. Even though they lost last year in a revenge spot, I think they cover this number in Champaign.
Going to extras in the Bronx, to the 10th they go. Oklahoma State's down in Fort Worth against TCU, 8-13. Frogs laying 4. Can the Cowboys get it done on the streets?
I think they can. I think it's the most complete team in the Big 12. They won this game last year 63-17. To me, still the most complete team in the Big 12. We saw Baylor lose last night. Oklahoma State's for real. They get it done. Their ability to run the football and look for Spencer Sanders to break out and outduel Max Duggan in this ballgame.
I hit West Virginia last night with that upset, and their defense is absolute ass butter. They are awful. I mean, I thought Baylor was going to score 125 points in that game the way it started. I cannot believe that West Virginia won the game. NC State and Cuse at the Dome. Cuse 5-0, Wolfpack 5-1, Cuse laying 3.5.
I was against NC State last week. Florida State should have won. I don't like NC State for a couple of factors. Devin Leary's banged up. He's a game-time decision. He's got an injury to his throwing arm. I think that plays into this cap. The line opened up at 5. They bet it down to 3.5. I don't like Chambers, the backup. And keep in mind, Dave Dorn and NC State over the last 3.5 years, just 6-12 on the road or on a neutral field. Syracuse could become bowl eligible with a win. Laying a short number, I think they get there.
Clemson and Florida State at Doak Campbell. Florida State going to lose 3 in a row?
No, they're not. How about they strike the upset, Scotty? They've lost six straight to Clemson, the last three by 30 points per game. I don't like Clemson back-to-back road games. They're not running the football consistently, 145 and 144 in their last two games. And the strength of Florida State is in the secondary in primetime. The last time they played Clemson in Tallahassee, they got absolutely boat raced. 59-10, they strike the upset and shock the college football world Saturday night in Tallahassee.
Wow, look at Gopher to two. Mississippi State is in Lexington, and Kentucky's had all kinds of problems this year, not only with their quarterback, with their defense as well. They can't stop a fly. Will the Bulldogs go in there and cover to four they're laying?
I don't think they will. It's down to 3.5, at least in New Jersey right now. Line open up at 7. Will Levis will play. These teams have flip-flop wins from 2015. Every other year, the other team wins. Miss State won last year. I think Kentucky's live with Levis at the helm. I like the over in this matchup. The reason why their defense is basically not stepped up, the rushing attack for Kentucky, only averaging 92 yards per game. Compared to last year, they were at 200. They're out there for longer periods of time. But I like Levis in this spot to outdo Will Rogers at home in Lexington.
Joe, what about USC and Utah at Rice-Eccles? Utah got spanked at the Rose Bowl by UCLA. They did not look good. I was always a buyer of the Utes. I thought they got screwed in Gainesville, but they got their ass beat by UCLA. And I'm done buying in that they're this great team. They just aren't. They're laying 3.5 to the Trojans here in Salt Lake Shakers.
Yeah, I think they boat race USC 7-13 points. I think they win possibly by double digits. Could be a one-score game. Their ability to get into a phone booth and run the football down USC's throat is the difference.
You know, Joe goes into a phone booth periodically in Manhattan and comes out with a cape on and saves women's lives all over the East and West Side. It's very impressive stuff. Joe, we love you. They can catch him on Carver and Lisi on a pain-free Friday night. Enjoy the games tomorrow, Joe. Love you. Always good to see you on a Friday talking college football, buddy.
You too, Scotty. Love the show.
There he is, Joe Lisi. Go for the two. Very famous. And here we go. A triple for Ramirez in the top of the 10th off Tyone to lead off.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Time for, oh, by the way, the Indians took the lead. It's 3-2 in the 10th. Guardians, whatever the hell you want to call them. It's time for the Sharp Report.
San Francisco 49ers spent the week on the East Coast after their blowout win over the Carolina Panthers last week. And they've had a lot of success in these back-to-back East Coast trips when they've stayed on the East Coast. To date, in the last several years, they're 8-1 when they've had these back-to-back games on the East Coast. They win and do a good job in their first game, and they typically really do a good job in their second game as well. So they're used to it. They stayed out East. They should be fine for the early kickoff here against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the Atlanta Falcons, this is a team that's gone up against a couple of terrible defenses. And in those games, they won outright. Those were their only two wins. They played the number 30 and the number 31 defenses. But then they went up against the LA Rams. They trailed 28-3, and they also trailed 31-10 in the fourth quarter of that game before scoring late, blocked punt, touchdown, and a safety touchdown to allow them to cover that game. And then last week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they were down 21-0 in the fourth quarter before they rallied, scored two touchdowns plus a two-point conversion to cover that game. This team has not done very well against good defenses. And the San Francisco 49ers don't have a good defense. They have a great defense. My main concern here is all of the injuries to the secondary of the San Francisco 49ers. But if you have to play a team when you're injured, the best team to play is probably a team like the Atlanta Falcons, because Atlanta wants to run the football and they don't actually complete a lot of passes on the day. They certainly don't complete a lot of passes down the field very frequently. They're a lower volume passing attack. Marcus Mariota is frequently completing passes in the low teens. And that's going to help a game in this situation with the 49ers defense when they're shorthanded in the secondary. I think this game is going to be fun. We've seen the over tick up a little bit here. We're expecting some points from the 49ers against this Falcons defense. The Falcons have a couple of great cornerbacks, but their front seven is not really that great. I think the 49ers are going to have some success running the football and throwing the football short. A lot of yak to be gained, in my opinion, for the 49ers here. And they want to look first half 49ers in this spot.